Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our final segment here on Circles of Change. And for those of you who are web streaming, I'd like you to go out and pull up the web and type in tastethelifeoftuscany.com. But you're going to need to turn the volume down a little bit because you're going to be greeted by beautiful classical music in amongst the visual presentation. Today I've got in the studio here in Tucson, Linda and Larry Grossman. Welcome to the show, you two.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, great. We're going to have some fun. Let me give an introduction. And by the way, this plays right to my own heritage because I am Italian. And my mother, although you wouldn't know it, I'm a tall redhead, but Northern Italian roots. So with that, Linda and Larry Grossman, the residents, as I mentioned, here in Tucson, and they started the Taste the Life of Tuscany Food and Wine programs in 2001. They take small groups of voyeurs, I say, to Italy to experience life there through extraordinary simultaneous culinary experiences. Linda's a longtime member of the culinary and restaurant leadership community, having owned the Baking Company restaurant in Omaha, Nebraska for 12 years, as well as catering all forms of elegant to fun meals for clients for 14 years. Currently, I'll get that number again, she's a 16-year cooking class instructor at Tucson's The Learning Curve, and Linda is a graduate of the University of Kansas and has studied in the prestigious Culinary Institute. She and I actually know one another from Tiempo Women's Networking Group here in town, where she's almost every month quite on task to cater our dinners, taking us to all corners of the globe through food, from classical French to Mexican to Asian, with her love always bringing to bring us back through Italy. Larry, her husband, is a graduate of the University of Nebraska and served our country as a member of the United States Foreign Service for 23 years. He's skilled in several foreign languages, as in seven, and he took assignments at American embassies in Vietnam, Argentina, Iceland, Belgium, El Salvador, and Denmark. He also served the State Department in Washington and within the United Nations in New York, where upon retiring, he worked as a UN election observer in a peacekeeping mission in Angola in Southwest Africa. So in addition to his entrepreneurial partnership now with Linda, he has been given that gift of knowing those languages I mentioned. He continues to work as an interpreter and a translator. So again, check out tastethelifeoftuscany.com. Well, Larry, why don't you start us out? And really, what brought you to Italy and specifically the region of Tuscany?
Well, strange as it may seem, the road to Tuscany for me began in El Salvador.
Oh, my.
As you mentioned, following my retirement from the U.S. Foreign Service, I went to work briefly for the United Nations as an electoral observer in El Salvador in Central America. There were electoral observers from all over the world participating in this activity, and I met a young couple from Tuscany who owned a farm there who said, come visit someday. It took us a couple of years, but in 1996, Lynn and I went to visit our friends for the first time. We stayed with them in their home, and we could not believe our eyes. We'd both been to Italy many times, but never really out in the countryside.
In the countryside, yes, because you typically hit Venice, Rome, Florence, Naples, Pompeii, etc., but to go out in the countryside.
And our first impression was that we were in the middle of a giant garden.
Oh.
That as you look around at the Tuscan countryside, it's rolling hills, it's covered with vineyards, it's covered with sunflowers, wheat fields, cypress trees. And this is an antique landscape that's been cultivated for the last 4,000 years. And it produces just wonderful olives, olive oil, and then some of Italy's best red wines.
Which, of course, that olive oil, Linda, for you as a chef, that's something that's obviously a staple product over the years for you, right?
Oh, of course. And with the new food pyramid, olive oil is the best that we can be imbibing in our bodies.
Yeah, that's right. And how was it you then came to start the actual food and wine programs?
I had closed my restaurant and started catering. Then I met Larry and we started traveling, as he said. And I had clients that I would be coming back and telling them all these glorious stories of Tuscany. And one of them simply said, well, why don't you take me and some of my friends?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It was that simple. So our first group was 12 people. And, well, of course, we had to go back that spring and do some reconnoitering and figuring out places to go and things to do. But it was so easy. We had so many friends that helped us.
Incidentally, you know, I often say on this show that many times that what you're looking for is looking for you if you only keep your eyes open. And or in your ears open, in this case of a friend that said, well, why don't you take us with you to start that? And how many trips have you all done now to Tuscany?
Oh, gosh. Well, we don't just do Tuscany anymore.
Right. Okay.
We've expanded a little bit into Provence and to the Piemonte region of Italy. But I think we've done at least 10 to Tuscany and then several more to those other regions.
And what's the focus of the programs? How does that unfold for those who would join in?
Well, what we try to do is present to our guests a type of unique experience. We take people deep into the countryside of Tuscany to areas that we always say, one, you would probably never find on your own. And then secondly, if you found them on your own, but if you didn't speak Italian, then you probably couldn't have that experience. But our focus is to present to our guests, to our participants, the manner in which the Tuscan people produce their food, how they transform things like olives into olive oil, how they grow grapes and then transform the grapes into some of the best red wine in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we combine all of that with absolutely the best possible food that we can find in the area at local restaurants. Another thing which we do is we take our guests into private homes. Because we have a number of friends, they have opened up their homes to us for some of our events. So it's a very unique kind of experience.
And how long are the trips then that people go on with you?
They're exactly a week, Saturday to Saturday. And once you arrive, you literally have to, you only unpack once. You stay in the same glorious place. We never travel farther than an hour. And absolutely everything is taken care of for you.
That's right. And so this idea typically of we're going to hit 5 cities in 3 days or whatever, that is not at all. This is,
if it's Tuesday, this must be. No,
exactly.
It's not that at all.
Not at all. I would imagine then that actually the experience of Tuscany and the wine, the food, the people also gets complemented, obviously, by the two of you and your life experiences you bring to it, but also the guests. So are you fairly deliberate or mindful as you look at the community of people you're taking with you in terms of the group?
We leave that open to surprise, and we are
right.
Always surprised. It is amazing the people that come with us and their knowledge. We had a head of a large corporation with us one time, and we had no idea. He had been just a little farm boy, and he was so fascinated by all the goings on, and how come there's those huge dirt clods in the fields? What do they use? Well, they use bulldozers to till their fields. They don't use
plows.
You know, ordinary plows or the like. And it's in another man from Washington State. He was a doctor, and he was so fascinated by the garden. So we specifically added, you know, once we found that out, we made special arrangements to take him to special gardens. We had an attorney, a couple of attorneys actually from here, that wanted to bicycle ride. They insisted they had to bicycle ride. We actually found them a teacher, someone to take them on
right.
the tours that had been in the Tour de France. So we can be quite accommodating to anyone's desires.
Well, I think also to be probably quite flexible as well if you don't have necessarily a rigorous schedule. So these type of experiences are as much of enjoying the day, aren't they, Larry?
What we also discovered was that some people that have gone with us on our different programs are in very high pressure and high powered jobs in the United States, and perhaps this was their first vacation in several years.
Yeah, that really was a vacation then.
Once they got there, once the magic of Tuscany started taking over, the long, relaxed meals, the red wine, and certainly, and just being in this beautiful place surrounded by very welcoming and friendly people, you could just see the tension and the stress of their lives melting away from them.
Yeah. Larry, you speak 7 foreign languages. You made reference earlier that you can take people to places they wouldn't otherwise get because of your skill in Italian. Any other barriers that you know, you watch that actually maybe melt away, that you see a lot more sameness in people than the differences?
What we discovered when we first went to Tuscany and came up with this idea of bringing people there in our initial contacts, a lot of people initially said, well, this is nice, so we'll pencil in a reservation for you. And then when you get back home, this was actually before the internet took off in terms of email, right. Send us a letter, send us a fax to confirm the reservations. After we had gone maybe two times and the people saw that this was something serious and that we were going to be coming back year after year, it was no more needing to confirm at such a repeated level. We got there, and as I like to say sometimes, our cheeks hurt from all the kisses that we get.
So really, Linda, as well, this has opened up doors to organizations or homes or restaurants or grocery stores, whatever, that you go back to repeatedly, but it's now taken off on life on its own, in other words. You've got perhaps others on that Tuscany end that are coming to be part of your program then?
I couldn't say that exactly. What do you think, Larry?
Well, I would say that the contacts that we've made over the years, they've gone from being, first of all, just sort of commercial contacts to the level of friends. And in some cases, it almost feels like family. Because we'll go somewhere and then the people say, after your group leaves, come to our house for dinner.
Yeah. Yes, what's amazing, what just never ceases to amaze me, are the different kinds of contacts and friends that we make. We were in a bakery visiting some friends of ours that we take the group to, and this man heard us speaking English, and he started speaking to us in English, and he's an older gentleman in his late 70s, and he has become one of our dearest friends. In fact, during this most recent tragedy here in Tucson, he called to see how we were. John McKelly, he's just a blessing, a very sweet man.
These type of experiences that you're taking people now to Tuscany to do, my supposition is, so you two come back to Tucson, granted you're real citizens of the world with the number of places you've traveled and lived, but does it make you approach your own day-to-day life here in Tucson in a different way?
Oh, I can answer that. One thing I do is, well, we were very lucky last year to be participants in our friend's olive oil, or olive.
Right.
Picking, harvesting. It was one of the most extraordinary experiences we have ever had. And, you know, to lay the 30-foot square nets out under the trees and to use the little clapper machines or to hand rake the olives and then to put them in their little cages and then to go with them to the place where they press the oil.
Right.
And then to be able to bring home the 13, 14 liters of olive oil that I use in everyday cooking. Yes. Every single day I use that olive oil.
So that you relive that experience
every single day.
That's right, and in your own catering business. How about you, Larry?
Well, I've discovered that there's some groups of people in Tucson that like to maintain or learn foreign languages. So, for example, there's a group called Let's Speak Italian, Parliamo Italiano, that meets every Tuesday afternoon at one of the Beyond Breads, the one on Campbell. And so I'm a regular participant there. There's another group that meets on Thursday mornings at Guinea's French Cafe on Prince Street that meets to speak French. So even though I'm here back in Tucson, at least a couple of times a week, I almost feel like I'm back in Europe.
Back in Europe again.
Because I'm speaking these two languages. And, of course, that helps me, because otherwise there would be a full year between using the languages, and it helps maintain my fluency and knowledge of the both languages.
That's right. Well, Linda, your experience in the culinary world, of course, you do catering here as well in town. How is this a different experience from a food standpoint? Here I'm a teacher and I'm actually a producer of, whereas there, are you more of a student of it or a facilitator for it?
I'd say both. The first day we spend at our friend's house overlooking the most gorgeous Lago di Chiusi, surrounded by several thousand olive trees, and I do teach a full day's class. We start, you know, preparing the meal, and at one point I said, oh, we need some figs. We better go out to the tree and pick some figs. And then we usually go outside under the arbor and have our lovely meal. And then afterwards, our friend Carlo, and there's always something to learn in Tuscany. Oh, wherever we go, there's so much to learn. And food, it's an everyday experience. I've got a food channel on almost all day in my house. Mm-hmm. You can never know enough, actually. So it's every experience is a teaching and learning experience.
Let me dwell on that more. Why is it you feel that the Food Channel has become almost iconic and so many more people following? I mean, my teenagers, they would rather watch the Food Channel than anything else on television.
We were fortunate enough to go to Hong Kong last year, and we spent a month there. And fortunately, though, the weather was bad several many days, so we were in, and they have the most fascinating Food Channel there, and it's all from all over the Asia, the different kinds of foods they have. And now there's a new Food Channel in Tucson. There's two of them, actually. I don't know. It's 122 and 201 on Comcast. And it's just in the presentation. I couldn't tell you why restaurateurs have become such rock stars. You know, Guy Fieri, look at him. Look at he's doing funny little quiz shows on TV now. But it's just one of those crazy evolutions, I suppose. But food is very important. It's essential to all of us.
That's the sustenance, but I think it's the element perhaps of design. It's that thought of connectivity. I mean, Larry, this idea, you know, you've lived all over the world, and I suspect one of the first things that really connects you with the people is the sharing of a meal.
Of course, there's nothing quite like that. And I have to say that when Linda and I started traveling together around the world, she opened up my eyes to something which I just sort of thought of as in the background. How interesting it is when you go with a food professional into a market or into a grocery store, and you see all of these ingredients, and you see how the food is different. The cuisines vary from one country to another.
Indeed. I've had the pleasure to work overseas a lot in my various career venues, and that was the first thing I do after I check into the hotel is actually go to a local grocery store, because you can get such a sense of the tempo of the environment, but also there's so many new things to see there. I mean, what in the world is that thing? Let alone if I didn't know what it was from a language standpoint, you'd never seen these fruits or vegetables or even how they dispense milk in a different way than we would see here in the United States.
The other thing we've noticed is that if you start to talk with people in any part of the world about their food, it's an instant icebreaker.
Precisely.
We like to tell the story about going to a supermarket in France, and we were looking for unsalted butter, and we couldn't tell from the packaging which was which. And there was a rather serious-looking Parisian Frenchman standing there. Well, we said, sir, we're foreigners. Could you tell us which of these butters would be unsalted? We proceeded to receive a graduate seminar on French butter. And this man who, for one moment, was very serious now was our professor.
Which, of course, we know, you know, Linda, from your love of classical French cooking, that it all starts with the butter.
Of course it does. In fact, we made a small detour into Andorra on our last trip to France. And what did I buy? Giant kilos of butter. It was crazy, but I kept that butter all through Italy and back to France, and now I'm using it at home.
That's right. That's right. In fact, I think some of the popular movie portrayals, whether it be the book Under the Tuscan Sun or Julia and Julia, that we realize that this underpinning of food, but also the connectivity with people, is so worthwhile. So, you know, you've talked about and mentioned friends. You know, it's one thing here I think about us reflecting here in the United States with us driving meals as we go through the drive-thru or skipping that meal with our family members. Oh my goodness, what we've lost.
One thing that we notice when we dine with our friends is that the meal is only part of the experience. You enjoy the food, the wine, the wonderful food that's being prepared. But then after the eating is done, you don't leave the table. You sit and you just have a chat, and it's such a warm, wonderful experience, such a human experience.
That's great. So how can people find out additional information about your programs?
Well, we do have a website, as you mentioned, the www.tastethelifeoftuscany.com. We have a telephone number, 520-299-4718, that people can call. We have two programs scheduled for this fall. We're going to be in Tuscany the week of September 10 through 17. And we have a second program proposed for the region of southern France, Provence, October 1 through 8. Both of these trips are a Saturday to a Saturday. Mm-hmm. As Linda mentioned, everything is all-inclusive from the moment that you arrive at the meeting point in either France or Italy. And from that point on, you're in our hands, and we've arranged just a wonderful week for you in two of the most delightful Mediterranean food regions in all of Europe.
Isn't that lovely? Linda, being the chef and the culinary expert, is there one dish or one food experience from all these trips across Tuscany that sticks with you so strongly?
Zara, do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Do you have a favorite child?
Is that a tough question?
That's as hard as it is for me.
That's a
I love
comeback.
All cuisines. Every year at New Year's, for the past 6 years we've been in Tucson, I'll pick a different country or a different region of the world and focus on that. And every year, everyone says, oh, this was the best. But how could it be any better than the last? It doesn't matter what order I put them in, and they would love them all.
Isn't that
as
lovely?
As I do.
As you do. Thank you so much to Linda and Larry Grossman from Taste the Life of Tuscany Food and Wine Programs. You can visit their site again. It's www.tastethelifeoftuscany.com. Thanks again for joining us here on the show today.
Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.